Next on BYUSN, college athletics continue to evolve. We'll discuss the latest changes to roster sizes and how it could affect BYU moving forward. Outside of quarterback, which position group will be the most important for Cougar football this season? And the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, going to join us. Look ahead to fall camp and what he considers a step forward for BYU this season, plus Kansas State quarterback Avery Johnson. Looking at BYU in the Big 12 opener in Provo and his expectations for the Wildcats this season. It's all right now on BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome to a loaded show. BYU Sports Nation presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, July 25th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who is once again excited to have the Olympics back in the state of Utah.
We're still going to be so young when they come in 10 years.
Yes.
But it's a big deal. It was a great way to start Pioneer Day to get that announcement. I saw the Olympics firsthand in Sochi back in the day over in Russia, and it's just the giant gathering of the worldwide family. You got an opening exercise, you got treats, you got games. It's like family home evening.
Sure.
And you wrap it up with a closing exercise and send everyone back. And Utah's a perfect place to have that kind of an environment. So, yeah, why not?
Not everybody has encounters with Russian officials on horseback like you did when you were at the Olympics, though, in Sochi.
I was lucky to get out. But we got out. Some great stories.
I don't think it'll be as tense in Salt Lake City in 2034, but great news for sure that it's back in America. The Winter Olympics is going to be a great spectacle,
yeah,
and great event.
That's awesome. And you know what? Fraser Bullock, our BYU alum, was the mastermind of pulling that together. There's a BYU influence around everything good that happens in the state of Utah, including the founding of the state of Utah. So it just continues. Nice job, Fraser.
On that note, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Now things are shifting because the landscape of the portal.
What are you going to do? What's the scholarship limits? What's your idea of scholarship limits or maximum? I think it's actually going to help us.
There's never been a better time to be involved with the Big 12 than right now.
I truly believe our future is bright.
What's trending? Presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Outer Group, serving Utah since 1968. How about this? On this morning of July 25th, Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger reporting that power conference commissioners have finalized roster limits that will be filed Friday in the House of Settlement, presenting roster sizes of the following. Football will have 105 scholarships available. So this is no longer in the 80s, Dave.
No.
Both in the decade and in the number.
It's jumping up
actuality.
20.
Jumping up 20 scholarship spots. Men's and women's basketball will have 15 scholarships each. That's plus two in that category. Baseball takes a huge jump up to 34 scholarships available, if you so choose, from 11.7. And then softball, they more than double from 12 to 25. Volleyball goes from 12 to 18. Wow. Again, schools can offer scholarships to full rosters beginning in 2025-2026 as part of this new revenue-sharing model. So, Dave, how does this impact collegiate athletics overall moving forward, and certainly BYU?
Revenue sharing, that's the key. With the first word being revenue, it's like, where are you going to get all this revenue? We used to think that, hey, the TV deal in the Big 12 is going to send such a big check that it's just going to cover all of this. It's going to cover paying players. It's going to cover creating all these new scholarships. And then NIL, which is separate from all this. And all of a sudden, that big TV check isn't that big. Mm. When you think $20 million bucks a year just to pay the players, and now you're talking about scholarship creation. I love the idea. It's not a requirement, which puts pressure on athletic departments to decide baseball. It's a game changer if you get 34 scholarships at BYU. I don't know if you're going to get them. I don't know if that commitment is there from the program because of money. But for Trent Pratt and Gordon Eakin, those increases change the game for cold weather sports trying to get a roster of top-notch athletes.
Yeah,
there's got to be incentive. And so they're getting portions of scholarships. Now they can get full scholarships if the program decides, yeah, our investment is going to be, we can do that, we're going to do it to the max. And I think that'll be the challenge.
I became concerned about this when I first heard that certain SEC institutions were concerned about raising $20 million a year, including Alabama and Georgia. And I'm here thinking, If Alabama and Georgia have concerns about raising $20 million a year to try and pay these increased scholarship sports, how in the heck is BYU going to do it? Yeah. And you can just write off all the Group of Five programs. Right. Like that. Look, it's available, right? But do you have the money to pay for that many scholarships? No. So the rich will seemingly get richer. But this is tough. So you bring up the number one concern, which is where does this money come from to fund that many more scholarships? If it were just football or just two more in men's and women's basketball, okay. We're talking about 23 more scholarships in baseball. Like, it's going to be tougher for some of the Olympic sports to do this, but I think BYU's up for the challenge. But this is where something like the Cougar Club comes into play. Like, can the Cougar Club join the revenue-generating efforts of NIL and the Royal Blue Collective and just the BYU Athletic Department in general? If you don't like raised ticket prices, guess what? Ticket prices are going up.
Cougar Tales?
Everything's going to be more expensive. This is that is the most obvious way to pay for something like this. So if BYU fans are like, well, yeah, well, how is this going to affect us? It's going to affect ticket prices and concessions and swag and everything that goes along. Like, that upsell will definitely be more.
Yeah.
Because you have to do it to compete. If you want your teams to be competitive and you want to, like, give more scholarships to these players, how else? Like, it's not just going to come from independent donors all of a sudden. Like, that's not just going to appear overnight.
Because they're already doing it, right? Who's funding your NILs? Those guys.
And give it a ton.
Yeah, and so then you can't just keep going back to those men and women because you actually need that commitment to remain.
Yes.
So it's
you need new sources.
Yeah. My dad used to had a funny thing when would ask him for money, especially when my sisters asked him for money, and say, well, just go out to the money tree. It's in the backyard. Just pull down whatever it is. You know, because we are conditioned with, oh, there's just always money. Yeah, let's just do that. And so that was the notion of, they look out back. There's not a money tree back there. You're right. There is not a money tree back there. But the premise is, yeah, you get what you work hard for. An athletic department gets what it works hard for in gathering donations and things like that. And don't get me wrong, I think it's awesome that all these scholarships they are game changers for athletic programs. Might kill the walk-on program in football if you can just add 20 more scholarships.
Yeah, that's another nuance.
So that's great for the student athlete and the level of competition you're putting on your roster. But then eventually it goes back to Tom Homo's desk, and then eventually it goes to President Reese's desk, and then it goes to some other desks where it's like, how committed are we going to be with that aspect of it? But the other schools are going to try to do it too. And if one particular school in the state of Utah is going, we're going to go 34 scholarships on baseball, the other Big 12 school in Utah doesn't, then you immediately have an uneven playing field by your own choosing. So do you flinch and say, we're just going to do it, or do you go, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I got to go get the money because we got to compete because now everyone can get to this level.
And we bring up the $20 million number, not because schools necessarily have to get to that. Like, you can't mandate that you have to raise $20 million a year. That's just what is allowed right now in this new agreement. The NCAA and all these individual institutions, you can raise up to $20 million per year to pay your players in scholarships and otherwise. So really, it's just a race to see what you can get. If you can get up to $20 million a year, incredible. But like I said, high-level SEC institutions, Georgia, Alabama, others, they're concerned about getting to $20 million. So then it just becomes, well, how do we... Okay, let's say we earned $8 million a year. How do we divvy it out? How many scholarships do we give to each program? How does that impact walk-ons for each of these different sports? Several layers to this. And BYU, I'll say this, they have always prided themselves on doing more with less. Yeah, BYU thrives in that situation.
Right. It's kind of in the culture, too. What worries me is exhaustion. Now, here we're at the cusp of a new football season. We all just can't wait to get there, and it's going to be spectacular in this end. But the exhaustion of the money.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
Exhaustion for people being asked to give. Exhaustion for people having to pay more for tickets. And then you have to be really good or no one's going to do it, right? Basketball sold out at the Marriott Center based on the roster and hope for, this team could be that good, I don't want to miss it. But if it wasn't Kevin Young and it wasn't a new group, it wouldn't be sold out. So then there all of a sudden there isn't the revenue. And so it's going to be an interesting time, but I worry about exhaustion because we've seen it over the years from donors. Mm. You can't ask me all the time for money. Mm-hmm. You know I want to give when I can give. And then if the economy shifts one way or the other, what's the first thing to dry up? Things you give.
For sure.
And so it's just going to be, I just worry about exhaustion.
Yes. And if you need an example of that, let's just talk about tipping in America, okay? I was eating at a restaurant in Florida recently. They gave me three options, 25% tip, 30% tip, 35% tip. I think my waitress brought me one drink and didn't say more than 10 words to me the whole time. And I'm like, I'm supposed to tip you between 25 and 35%.
You get thrown out of the restaurant. It's A, B, C, and D.
Goodness. Like, yes, exhaustion is the right word.
All right, topic two this morning. Outside a quarterback, and we put this one on social media, which position group will be the most important for BYU this season? Again, they're in camp on Tuesday.
To compete in the Big 12, it feels like you need a star at running back, if not a stable of stars at running back. You think about all of the teams that performed at the highest level in the Big 12 last year, Dave. Guess what they all enjoyed?
Running back?
High-level running backs. And I'm not saying BYU needs to be Texas or Oklahoma State or even Iowa State, who had a stable of awesome runners. But if you were a bowl team last year in the Big 12, you had a stud that largely remained healthy at running back, and that was BYU's big issue last year. I thought L.J. Martin, as a freshman, was outstanding, but he was banged up. Miles Davis has been dealing with injuries his whole year. Hinkley Rapati
never even got there.
Didn't get to play last year.
Aiden Robbins, broken rib.
Injuries were a huge part of setting back BYU's running game. Look at what BYU did with the running game once Aiden Robbins finally got healthy against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
And what a healthy Tyler Allgeier just did throughout.
He was such a cheat code for BYU's offense. And we, taking nothing away from the offensive line, because I thought the offensive line for BYU when Tyler Allgeier was running was good. Tyler Allgeier made them look elite. Yeah. He was a special player. So if you have a special running back, you can make an okay offensive line seem good, or a good offensive line seem great, even elite. BYU needs a running back, probably multiple, to stay healthy and get that group right. The offensive line, we think, is going to be better coached by T.J. Woods.
Yeah.
And speaking of money, BYU, they went out and they paid some other coaches to come and coach critical positions.
You get what you pay for.
Including T.J. Woods. Yeah. So we think that that offensive line is going to go from subpar to at least average. Running backs can make that average offensive line look good, even great.
So important. Whenever BYU's been good, they've had a running back that's helped everyone else look good. Max Hall was talking about Harvey Unger the other night. Harvey allowed Austin Colley, Dennis Pitta, and Max Hall to be great.
Think about Jamal Williams.
They couldn't stop him at the line of scrimmage. Yes. Jamal Williams, Luke Staley. Just go down to when BYU was right there. And, McMahon, Young, Bosco, Wilson, they all had running backs.
Yes.
And allowed everything to work.
Eddie Sinnett, Lake Hemuli.
And when you don't have one, like last year, it puts so much pressure on the quarterback. And then the quarterback gets hurt. So, you know, if Bohannon's going to run for 2,000 yards this year, it's because the running backs didn't quite get it done.
Why was that 96 team for BYU so good? They had two high-level running backs, Brian McKenzie and Ronnie Jenkins. Yeah. They were special. So to me, it's the running backs, Dave. Where would you go with this?
Well, I'm going to go with linebackers. I think you could pick so many different areas. Concerned about Ben Bywater's health. But Jack Kelly, the transfer from Weber State, a lot of preseason props on him. Isaiah Glasker, Ace Kafusi, Joe Bryant Struther, the transfer from UCLA, Elijah Bryant's younger brother. He's a beast. Harrison Taggart, Ciali Acera. These guys have got to be really good in stopping the run. You know, a lot of that pressure on the defensive line, we've been talking about that all offseason. That's got to be better too. But the blitzers and the guys that get the running backs after they slip through, that's these guys. And if they can be healthy and aggressive and contain that running game, I like the secondary. Mm. Secondary's got a lot of experience back there. But the linebacking core, and again, with or without Bywater, that linebacking core has got to be really, really good. And as in the case with every position group, they got to stay healthy.
I know many of you probably are going to want to point to up front, to the offensive line or even the defensive line. Certainly you need to win the game in the trenches. But I think to your point and my point, and similarities with choosing the running backs and linebackers is they, when there is speed and agility and you can strafe from side to side super well, like you just, if you're running back, you create big plays individually. Once that offensive line gives you an initial hole, after that, it's on you. The linebackers can prevent a lot of big plays from happening. Yeah. And everything's important in football. That's why it's the purest, greatest team sport. But it certainly feels like after the quarterbacks, if the Cougars could stay healthy, specifically at running back and at linebacker, my goodness. Now we're feeling way better about BYU getting back to a bowl game, if not winning maybe 7 games. Yeah. Gulp 8.
And we're healthy on the backside of the season, where there's so many critical games.
Mm. Our question of the day, we just answered it. Outside of quarterback, which position group will be the most important for BYU this season? At @air_Gordon12 on X answers. Offensive line, easy. Game is won in the trenches. What was I just saying? And the big boys didn't quite get it done last year. Really excited for them this year with the new coach, TJ Woods, and the guys they got in that room. BYU has good running backs who just need a decent hole, and they'll succeed. I think it's bigger than that. Like you need a special athlete. Like you can't just plug and play any running back. You need somebody that is next level.
Yeah, you do. Andrew Peterson on Instagram, defensive line. We need sacks and disruption on defense. That's true.
Can the linebackers be the disruptive forces? BYU's defense for years was set up as the defensive line kind of being block eaters, and then the linebackers would, in their words, they'd go eat. Yeah. And they would feast.
Like David Nixon always tells us, they always did everything.
Yeah.
The whole team
revolves
around those linebackers. Said, okay, yeah. Nix.
But things are changing under Jay Hill. So to Andrew Peterson's point, the defensive line is going to be required to be more prominent and more disruptive and create more chaos. Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
We're going to ask Greg Wrubell that question in a couple minutes. He looks like he's got an answer, too, just from the look of him on his face this morning. Full of information. Hey, by the way, Saturday night, join us for a BYU TV Sports special, BYU Football, a celebration of 100 seasons. Look back on a century of Cougar football history. Special guests include Tom Holmo, Chris Hoke, Kalani Sitake, and many more. 9 o'clock Eastern time on BYU TV and the BYU TV app.
As Dave just mentioned, the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, joins us to discuss which storylines he will be following most closely during fall camp. And what's a significant step forward for BYU? Is getting to a bowl game enough? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
We are ready to go. That's an unbelievable catch! Caught for the touchdown! Intercepted from Jacob Robinson!
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Dave McCann. We're over here in the Cougar Council Room to welcome in the voice of the Cougars. He is Greg Wrubell, fresh off vacation and ready to tackle BYU football training camp. Greg, welcome back to BYUSN.
Hello, guys.
How did you do at the Scottish Open?
Well, the Scottish Open was the week before I got to Scotland. The Open was last week. I did get to Royal Troon for the last 2 days of play.
Nice.
They didn't
there.
Let you in the field. They
Very
just kept
cool.
you in the crowd.
I was in the gallery. Yes. had some great seats. Really good time and Scottish weather to welcome me back. It felt like being in Edinburgh this morning, actually. So yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, rain for sure. That's fitting that you brought the weather back with you.
Yeah.
By the time training camp begins next week, we expect sunny, hot, and
relentless.
Yes. BYU football players ready to rock, because it feels like, Greg, for the last 3 months, all the players and coaches collectively have heard from national media is, well, BYU's not going to be good. They're going to be picked somewhere between 13th and 15th, and Vegas has them at 4.5 wins. So how do you feel like they are handling that type of expectation or lack thereof?
Well, hopefully as well as basketball handled their preseason expectation this past year, and they were the surprise story, a surprise story in the Big 12. And in football, there's always a surprise story based on the preseason poll to how things shake out. And so BYU, I think, is latching onto the hopes that they are that surprise team, and much of the preseason expectation is based on an uncertainty. You got a cameo of Jake Retzlaff, but it was a time of year when the team was kind of struggling around him, and you haven't seen Gary Bohannon play football for a while, really. So there's a lot of unknown, I think. And I think if you're unknown at quarterback, that really tends to, you know, lead to uncertainty for your team fortunes as a whole. So once that part gets resolved, I think we'll see an identity develop pretty quickly for this BYU football team.
So let's take that basketball analogy a little further. So they made noise by shooting the three, right? And again, toward the end of the season, they had to do a couple of different things, but that was their thing. You know, we were going to shoot 35 threes a game, and we were all thinking, what? Can you do that? And then they did it. So what does that mean for BYU? Does that mean 50 passes a game? Does that mean they're going to just air it out and go deep? What's going to be the niche?
I think it means doing something exceptionally, whatever that turns out to be. And I just don't think you can be a top-tier team in this conference with average performances. Someone's got to stand out in a remarkable way. The best teams at BYU have been those seasons with exceptional performances, landmark numbers at quarterback, at wide receiver, at running back. You just can't piecemeal your way to something exceptional. Someone's got to be a true standout. And we're talking, you know, 1,000-yard rushers, 1,000-yard receivers, 3,000-yard quarterbacks, double-digit sacks. Somebody's got to be exceptional. Not just somebody. Multiple players have to be exceptional. And then that ultimately creates your niche. Where does that funnel down to? Where are you the best? Identify it, expand upon it, and be great at it. Good enough's not going to work.
Greg, our question of the day is, outside of the quarterback, which position group do you feel like is the most paramount or the most important for BYU football this year? Maybe the one that needs to take the biggest leap.
Well, I apologize if it's too obvious or too much of a cliche, but it all starts with the offensive line for me. It's the one position group on offense that affects every other component of the offense. You really can't say that about the other groups. And so it really does start and finish there for me offensively. And I think that's where BYU has to take the greatest leap,
that really
is on the offensive side of the ball.
That adds the intrigue to TJ Woods. Can a new coach come in and overnight turn guys who are returning into better players?
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, for the things I'm hearing from people close to the program is that his impact alone has already had definable results. Yeah. And of course, when it comes to games, we haven't seen that yet. But that appears to be a good first step. I love the fact that Connor Pay is back as kind of the linchpin anchor for that group. Others have to take steps from where they were. They may not be the deepest group right now. Hopefully that depth develops. But I think if they've got a solid eight, you can go into a season feeling pretty good about that group. If you've got eight really good offensive linemen, that can be your rotation.
Seems coming back from an offensive year which underperformed. Fall camp is so important every day. For like a regular starting quarterback to have every day to reboot an offense. So now you have two trying to figure that out while accomplishing the same goal. So how long can that really go on?
Yeah, I would think if you're talking about 4 weeks of camp, the first 2 weeks are to you know, to nail it down, and the next 2 weeks sort of get ready for that first game with your guy. I would think that by 2 weeks in, A-Rod's got he may already have the idea, but I would think by 2 weeks in, you pretty much have concluded the competition, and your last 2 weeks get you that starter ready to go for game one. That being said, guys, the years of getting through a season, game 1 through 12 or 13 with one guy, they're few and far between now. You're probably going to need more than one. So while you may have a starter, that's not the only guy you're going to need this year.
Yeah.
And so at least two, if not three, really good options for BYU have to be, I think, solidified once camp is concluded.
We chronicled that just recently in the last 14 years. If you include the bowl games, there have been two seasons in the last 14 where One quarterback started every game, including the bowl game.
I think that one was Taysom Hill year, ironically, because he was the one that had difficulty getting through seasons.
In 2013.
And then Zach Wilson
that's
in
it.
20. That's it, right?
That is it.
Yeah, that's very rare.
That is crazy. Okay, so with
And if you take it back a little bit, it was before this recent era where you had that unparalleled continuity of John Beck and Max Hall, where over six seasons, I think you had a true starter miss one game. And then since then, it's been much more that rule. Mm. Yeah.
Fascinating stuff for sure. So with the quarterback battle, you think 2 weeks in, everyone asks me this everywhere I go. Spencer, who's the starting quarterback? Does anybody have an edge? And I keep saying, well, Aaron Roderick has said clearly, whoever takes care of the ball and commands the attention of his team in the huddle will be the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Do either of those guys have a leg up in those categories right now? Because Retzloff didn't turn it over in spring ball. And Gary's largely an unknown, but he's a commanding presence in the huddle. So where do you lean in?
Yeah, Gary's got the resume, the portfolio, the past performances. It's been a while, but he did great things at a really high level. So Gary's got that. Can he get that back is the question. And then on Jake, it's an entirely different perspective altogether. I really liked what I kind of heard and saw from Jake in that cameo last year, but so many other things were kind of going sideways around him. I don't know how much he was helped by all of it. And he was getting his first looks, his first starts in a really tough phase of his season. But the other things, the under the radar kind of stuff about Jake Retzloff was really impressive to me.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't have the performances that Gary's put forth, but he's got, the moxie angle covered. And I would just like to see the numbers now match that. And then Jake becomes kind of the whole picture once that happens. With Gary, an unknown to me too. I just haven't had the exposure to him yet beyond what I've called a couple of his games as an opponent, right? So I'm truly going into this intrigued. I think it's a compelling competition, and I'm fascinated to see who ends up winning it.
We were talking the other day that the excitement around a new football season and with camp starting and all that stuff and the build up to August 31st. But the really most interesting show will be our respective post-game shows on August 31st. What answers do you anticipate mulling over?
Well, you start with an FCS home game, right? So it's one you have to win and ideally win handily. Now, that said, Southern Illinois is a top 10 FCS program. They get into the postseason. It's a really good team. But one you've got to – I think in the seasons where you've got some concerns, that first game – might give you more than you want to know unless it's a really solid kind of dominant performance. You have to handle it and handle it well because you're on the road for the next 2 weeks at SMU and at Wyoming, and neither one of those will be considered a gimme. I think ultimately it's how handily does BYU handle business on that first game against a decent opponent.
About the Sam Houston game last year, I think is
what has 14-0.
Yeah, 14-0. I think that's what has Cougar Nation a little concerned with this one, because after that one, it was it was the first game. It's this and it's that. We didn't know Aiden Robbins had a broken rib and some of those things, but then those problems that were actually in that game kind of went through the season.
Yeah, and you could argue the Portland State game a few years back, 20-7, I think, was the game. So again, the 20 was the concern, and against Sam Houston, the 14 was the concern, and you saw in both those years, 17 and 23, how the offense really
struggled.
That was who they were. That was kind of a sign of the struggles.
Yeah.
And so, at least offensively, you want BYU to be around an average performance against an FCS opponent, which is in the 40s. That's where you want to be. And that's a pretty good sign from game one of how this offense may or may not turn out to be, is can you reach those historical averages, which are in the 40s, when playing an FCS opponent?
Greg, what would be considered a legitimate step forward? And I ask that because there are several fans that feel like, well, just get to a bowl game and that's good enough. But what if BYU goes to a bowl game and they lose a bowl game and they're 6-7 and they have back-to-back, technically speaking, losing seasons? To me, that's like, I don't know if that's enough. I'd like to see BYU win seven games to call it a legitimate step forward. Where do you fall in that line of questioning?
I'm in the get to the bowl game camp right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you're good enough to get to it, you're probably good enough to win it. I think being 5-2 last year and not getting there, there was nothing was, you couldn't count on the bowl game last year. Even at 3-0 you couldn't, and at 5-2 you couldn't. Yeah. So, does anybody expect to be 3-0 and 5-2 at any point this year? Maybe not. But you've got to still find a way to get to six, which they couldn't do last year. And so, to me, it's getting to the postseason. Yeah. And then, again, if you're good enough to get there, hopefully you're good enough to win it. Yeah.
Yeah, and beat the Utes.
Dave's got to sneak that in there.
That's always on the to-do list.
Hopefully that's one of your six, right? Yeah, I mean, getting the six. I think last year was really instructive, right? It proved how they were there. They were there with a lot of room to spare.
At the end, the last two games, they were there.
Right, and just couldn't. So, yeah, just find a way to get over that hump, get yourself back to the postseason. Mm. Yeah.
Greg, good stuff. Great to have you with us.
Well, it's good to be here, guys.
Hey, by the way, in Scotland, how many Go Cougs shout-outs did you get?
I think I was the one doing it more than anyone else. Yeah. It's not like Disneyland. Not a ton of BYU logo.
You didn't see many?
Quite like that. Yeah. Well. Good conversations with people, but yeah.
For sure.
I was kind of like the lone Coug out there. Yeah.
Good to have you back. We got a lot of room to grow.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks, Greg. After Further Review returns next Tuesday in the season premiere. It's the Touchdown Show. Blaine Fowler, David Nixon, myself, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. On the BYU TV app, the season premiere. We're back now. The Touchdown Show is upon us.
You're going to get busy, Dave. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's go. Some interesting commentary from a Big Ten head coach regarding the college football playoff and how that would impact how many teams from the Big 12 would make the newly expanded playoff. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, we invite you to follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok, YouTube, wherever we're there.
How many of those social media platforms do you currently own accounts in?
I do all but TikTok. I'm not in. That was a little weird.
Get Dave on TikTok. Your daughters want you to do TikTok dances with them, don't you?
I don't know if they do. I don't know if they want me to do that.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is the TikTokless Dave McKinn. Let's roll out our daily trivia as part of our continued celebration. 100 years, or seasons, I should say, of BYU football. Our producer, Colton Potter, now joins us for today's random, challenging BYU football trivia question.
Yesterday, Colton, we were stumped.
What have you provided for us today?
BYU has three quarterbacks in program history with five or more career games with 400 yards passing. Ty Detmer, Jim McMahon are two of the three. Mm-hmm. Who is the third?
I'm going to go John Walsh, Dave.
I'm going to go way out of the box here with James Lark.
I think James might have two, maybe one.
Three quarterbacks with five or more career games. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to go James Lark. I wasn't thinking.
I don't think Robbie needed to throw for 400 plus five times.
Detmer McMahon, could be Mark Wilson.
Max Hall? Did John Beck do it five times? John Beck had some big games. Did he play long enough to do it? I'm going to one of the Johns, Colton. Either John Beck or John Walsh.
I'm going to go Mark Wilson.
Your first instinct was correct. John Walsh.
Yes!
That's incredible pull, Spencer.
Let's go! John Walsh, five games of 400-plus. The most underappreciated quarterback in BYU history, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know what? Had he not gone out early, who knows?
He could have maybe been a first or second round draft pick the next year.
Went to the Bengals and got hurt.
But you know what John Walsh leaving early did for BYU? It forced him to go get a guy named Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, that's true.
Out of junior college.
That's true.
How about that?
James Lark, I was thinking of you. but not for five games. I was thinking maybe one or two.
Let's roll out today's headlines.
Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger reporting earlier this week that Power Conference commissioners have finalized roster limits that will be filed Friday in the House settlement, with roster sizes increasing. Football up to 105, baseball up to 34, men's basketball up to men's and women's, softball up to 25, and volleyball up to 18. Schools can offer scholarships to full rosters starting in 25-26 as part of the new revenue sharing model. They can do this. They are not forced to do this. So we'll see how teams in the Big 12 respond.
They also need money to be able to
do this.
Hey, the final group of Cougars in the NFL reporting to training camp yesterday. Tyler Allgeier with the Atlanta Falcons, Blake Freeland with the Indianapolis Colts, and his teammate for the time being, Keaton Slovis, a quarterback with the Colts. The preseason kicks off 1 week from tonight. That is crazy. Max Tooley and the Houston Texans take on the Chicago Bears.
They had a big fight in practice yesterday. I do not believe Max was involved or instigating, but it'll be fun to see him get on the field next week. Congrats to four BYU golfers, Max Brenchley, Zach Jones, Cole Ponich, and Tyson Shelley, qualifying for the U.S. Amateur, which will be held at Hazeltine National Golf Club in Minnesota, August 12th through the 18th. Way to represent.
Daniel Schneeman, former BYU Bat-Cat, got the start at shortstop for the past two games. Playing for the Cleveland Guardians, he went 1-for-7 in those two games with a single and a run batted in. That gives him 15 runs batted in during his rookie season.
Other Cougs in the minors, Andrew Pintar, a single and an RBI for the Amarillo Sod Poodles. Austin Deming, a double, two RBI for the Asheville Tourists. How about Michael Rucker pitching two scoreless innings with two strikeouts for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs? Rucker needs to get back up there with the Phillies. I wish he was still in the Cubs. Justin Sterner pitched an inning, giving up a run for the Durham Bulls.
What is a sod poodle? What is a sod poodle?
I don't know, but they're all over Amarillo. They roam the streets.
I think it's a groundhog, I'm told.
Okay.
That was a second trivia question.
They fight with the armadillos there in Amarillo.
Cougars and the Miners continuing. Nate Daly pitched an inning and two-thirds, scoreless with three strikeouts for the Bowling Green Hot Rods.
Nice.
Cy Nielsen pitched two scoreless innings with four strikeouts for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Ryan Brady pitched one scoreless inning with a strikeout for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals.
Okay.
And Cooper McKeon struck out both batters he faced for the Aberdeen Ironbirds. Long live minor league baseball.
I'd love to be on the committee that comes up with these kind of names. It's just like whatever.
It's such a significant part of Americana.
That's cool.
Okay. Minor league baseball. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Dave, start us off.
Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule making headlines at Big Ten Media Day when he said he thinks the Big Ten should get at least four teams into the college football playoff every season. Be nice if Nebraska would just get in the postseason once every blue moon. But that's what he's saying. What do you make of his comments?
Four teams? I expect this from the SEC, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I expect the SEC to feel like they deserve four spots because they might produce four teams that deserve four spots. The Big Ten is not in that category yet, Dave. Maybe it's because they add USC and Oregon and Washington and UCLA and they feel like, okay, well, we're going to be in that area. But I'm still thinking that I don't think there are going to be more than three Big Ten teams that are in the top 12.
No.
That four spot probably belongs to the SEC. Also, the college football playoff needs, like, a sorting tool like the net exists in basketball. I know they have ESPN's Football Power Index, but it's ESPN's, and ESPN owns the college football playoff. Like, can there be an independent metric to help sort out stuff like this?
There needs to be. I mean,
yes.
USC got kicked around the Pac-12. They're going to the Big Ten. They're going to go to the playoff? Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, so a follow-up to that. Will the Big 12 get multiple teams into the playoff this season? At least two.
So 12 teams get in, the champions automatically in. Will there be an at-large in a league that's just going to beat each other up?
That's tough.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. You'd like to think that there would be two in the top 12, but this isn't basketball. I think wouldn't be surprised if they're held to one, especially initially, because really they created the 12 for the Big Ten and the SEC to get all their teams in.
Yeah.
The ACC could get two. They could Florida
for sure.
And Clemson State.
Now, I could see a scenario where, hey, Utah and Oklahoma State are both ranked in the top 8 to 10. Maybe those teams play in the Big 12 championship, or Kansas State is playing Oklahoma State. Something like that. There could be, but right now I'm actually leaning, like, towards it's going to be tougher. Like, I hope I'm surprised, and there are two Big 12 teams in the playoff this season.
24/7 Sports latest bowl projections. BYU playing Appalachian State in the Boca Raton Bowl. Would you take this right now or play out the season and hope for a better bowl game?
Well, again, we don't know BYU's record here, so BYU could still win seven games and play in the Boca Raton Bowl, and I would take that.
I would take that.
But if you told me it was only six wins, then I'm playing out the season.
I'm playing it out. Because the Boca Raton Bowl and Appalachian State for a Big 12 team, that sounds like more of what we played as an independent.
Sounds like the independence bowl against UAB.
Yeah, let's shoot for higher. Let's shoot for higher.
BYU's been there, done that. They won the Boca Raton Bowl. I'd like to play in a different bowl game. Give me the Snoop Dogg Bowl. Let's go. For shizzle.
Snoop Dogg. It's great to have Snoop in the bowl season.
After the break.
I don't know what took so long.
We'll continue our Big 12 football season preview with Kansas State quarterback Avery Johnson. He's a guy that's an under-the-radar Heisman candidate, Dave. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Recently at Big 12 Media Days, we had a chance to speak with a quarterback that is a dark horse Heisman Trophy candidate. I know he hasn't done a ton yet, but they expect big things from him. I'm speaking specifically of Avery Johnson at Kansas State. BYU fans will get a close look at him on September 21st. This is our two-on-one with the quarterback of the Wildcats.
So let's get into this year. There's to say that the expectations are high, that the enthusiasm around the program is high, is probably an understatement. How excited are you and your guys for this upcoming season?
I mean, we're super excited. You know, you work out for so long, you just kind of want to get on the field and play. And I feel like that's where we're all at right now, is continuing to take every day as it is, continuing to stack days. But whenever fall camp comes around, I know guys are going to be ready to get out there back on that field and practice. And whenever our first game comes around, man, I'm excited. I know I'm excited. The guys are fired up. We're ready to go.
Avery Johnson, Kansas State quarterback, sophomore, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Not everybody has the moxie and the confidence to replace a guy like Will Howard, but here you are saying, give me the ball, I'm ready to go. So why is it that you feel so confident in your capabilities, and specifically the Kansas State offense, even though Will's gone, that you can still go and do the thing? Because everyone's buying in. You're picked to finish second in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, like, first and foremost, I've always been a confident player. I've always been a confident person. And it's really credit to my family, my parents. They've always, you know, told me to have that confidence in myself. And, you know, second, I mean, like, what's there not to be confident in? I have a great support system around me. I have great coaches, wonderful teammates, a lot of explosive playmakers around me that just really make my job easy. So, I mean, I'm just excited. I'm excited to get out there on the field with those guys.
The first thing that most people talk about when they talk about you is how dangerous you are with your feet and your running ability. But I know I've read a lot where people aren't talking enough about your arm and what you can do through the air. How much pride do you take in being an overall player like that?
Really just like trying to perfect my game to the best of my ability, and just go out there and show people that I am a passer. I'm a runner too, but at the end of the day, like, I'm a competitor. I like to win. If I have to run for 200 yards on you, I'll do it. If I have to throw for 200, like, whatever the team needs, whatever we need that week to go out and get a win, like, I'm up for anything. I'll go do it.
Have you heard the name Taysom Hill before?
Yeah.
BYU fans, they kind of view you as that type of quarterback where you can hurt him both ways.
Yeah, Taysom Hill's a little harder runner than I am. I might do a little juke move or
okay,
get the edge on you, kind of try to dice you up a little bit. Taysom Hill might run through you. I don't know if I have that in my bag yet, but, yeah, I don't know if I would use Taysom Hill.
Hey, 12 total touchdowns, no interceptions, so an ability to take care of the football. What else have you worked on specifically to try and take your quarterbacking game to the next level?
The mental side of it, being able to know the offense like the back of my hand. And I've had to teach the offense to a lot of new guys, young guys coming in. So that's definitely helped me learn the offense. And then being able to, also on the mental side, being able to, like, see pressures, defense, stuff like that, being able to spend more time on that, but not overcomplicate it. And the biggest thing is pocket presence, being able to stand in the pocket and deliver throws and not try to do too much, just do my role.
When you look at what you have on the offensive side, obviously having your running back and Giddens back, it's huge. You have a mostly new receiving core. I know there's quite a few guys on the offensive line that are new. When you look about trying to put all that together, how is that coming along as we get closer to the season?
It's really, like, it's a great brotherhood in that locker room. And, yeah, we have a lot of new faces on the offensive line, but it's a lot of guys that's played college football before, and I wouldn't say we're a young bunch. and I'm really confident in those guys. They worked hard all summer. I have all the confidence in the world that they're going to go out there and perform when the fall comes around. And then as far as receivers, we have some guys coming back. You're going to see some new faces. I think we're going to be really excited for what we have to come receiver-wise. And then running back, like, you know K-State can run the ball. We got DJ Giddens, who's an underrated running back who a lot of people overlook. And then we add a piece from Colorado, with Dylan Edwards, who can stretch the field, explosive and very dynamic in space. So I got all the pieces around me. It's just, you know, pitching it out there and letting guys do their thing. Mm.
Your Big 12 opener, September 21st, in Provo, Utah, of all places, at BYU. What do you know about Provo, Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and BYU football?
I don't know too much. I have seen pictures of the stadium, though. It's really great scenery. As far as that, like, Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
I've watched some Zach Wilson. He was special in college.
Actually, he might, like, the way he jukes some people, like, he was kind of an underrated runner. So, yeah, there's some similarities there as well with you.
So, I mean, I can't say I know too much, but I'm really excited. I'm really excited for the new teams, being able to go new places and just, you know, go out and compete with all these different schools.
What's it like to have a head coach in Chris Klieman, who, and a lot of people don't know this, but he comes from a program that won 4 national championships in 5 years in North Dakota State. It takes over for the legendary Bill Snyder. What has he brought to the culture and the locker room of Kansas State? Because everywhere he goes, he's a winner.
You said it. I mean, he's a winner. And he holds himself to a different standard. Or he holds himself to the standard. He holds our coaches to the standard, players to the standard, everybody else. In the facility, we just have this different culture that he had brought, and that he has done a great job of just leading the whole bunch. And when you look at him, like, I would just say he's just an all-around, like, great leader. And he knows, like, he's a down-to-earth guy. Like, I can go up and talk to him whenever I need to. Office door is always open. Like, you text him, call him. Like, he's really down-to-earth. But at the same time, like, he knows business. Like, he knows, like, when it's time to get to work, he's going to come out there and just be a great coach.
Spencer was talking about Taysom Hill, and we brought up some guys. Zach Wilson, you brought up. Do you have someone that you try and emulate? Is there somebody that growing up you really paid attention to and was like, that's kind of the guy for me?
I wouldn't say I emulate my game after anybody, but I do watch a lot of players. Like, growing up, I was a really big Marcus Mariota fan. I really liked how he played.
And special dude.
Like, super special with the ball in his hands, run, pass. And if you could run and pass, and I was growing up, like, I loved to watch. Like, I was a really big Russell Wilson fan. And then now my guy to watch is Pat. But, I mean, Pat does. He does stuff that, like, you probably shouldn't even try to.
Do you have the arm angles?
Yeah.
The Pat does?
Like, he's just special, and his – yeah, I don't even know how
to. It's tough to explain. Now you've really made Jason a fan. He's a huge Chiefs fan.
Look, I'm from Kansas City.
He loves Wagyu beef.
Yeah, so you and me are going to hang out. We're going to watch Patrick Mahomes highlights. We're going to eat beef. We're going to hang out in Manhattan. I think it's been covered by now.
All right, I'm a big Chiefs fan, too.
There awesome. We go. Oh, we're best friends now.
Are you your hair is fantastic. Are you hoping it shows up in the new college football video game?
I hope so.
Yeah, you want that flow out of the back of the helmet on EA Sports?
I hope so. But if not, I promise you the day it drops, I'll have a tweet.
You can,
Twitter.
Yeah.
I'll say we're going to have to get this fixed.
Modify that.
Yeah, we're going to have to get this fixed.
Get it going. Oh, good stuff. Avery, it's been great to have you on BYU Sports Nation. Look forward to seeing you on September 21st and watching you play all season long.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you guys.
Well, that's all Shep needs is another Chiefs friend, and he's got one. Great interview. If you missed any of our Big 12 Media Day interviews with players and coaches, and they're all fascinating, you can find them on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page.
Outside of quarterback, which position group do you think will be the most important for BYU football this season? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back. Our question of the day is, outside of the quarterback position at BYU, which position group will be the most important for the Cougars this season? Josh Thornton on Instagram says the defensive line. Yeah. I saw way too many opposing quarterbacks look like Heisman candidates last year, says Josh.
He's had it. He doesn't want to see any more. We just heard from one. He doesn't want to see him.
He doesn't want to see Avery go nuts against BYU. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, in from Cougar Bell on X, who says the offensive line is the most important, always is. No matter how good your skill players are, they can't do anything if they don't have production or someone to punch a hole in the defense. And I would counter-argue that Tyler Allgeier and Jamal Williams made their offensive lines look better than they actually were.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a special running back, you can do that.
When you have average running backs and a struggling offensive line, you can't do anything at all. And
I think that's both are important.
The alarming thing from Cougar Bell. And we don't know the status of this group.
We'll see.
So offensive line really needs to show up.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Our alum, Fraser Bullock, and his effort to get the Winter Games back to Utah. Well done. Way to represent the Y and the state. And that's just awesome.
2034. Only 10 years away.
That's right.
The Summer Olympics in Paris haven't even happened. Let's focus on those as well.
Let's do it.
All right, our thanks to today's guests, Greg Rebell and Kansas State quarterback Avery Johnson.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Dave McCann, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Ryan Denny. We'll see you tomorrow, Friday, BYU Sports Nation, live here in Studio B. Go Cougs.